Willie and D. Mace, hour number two. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Nick Frazier here with you. Later in the hour, Predators goaltender Scott Wedgwood, who is in Nashville for the first time as a Predator, signed during that free agent frenzy on July 1st. Brady Shea also there. We got a chance to catch up with Brady last week. Had Steven Stamkos yesterday. Today, we talked to Scott Wedgwood. Now, first and foremost, before we do that, It's Hutton time. Hutton o'clock. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike and Hutton and Withrow.
Ah.
So.
What's up, guys?
Hut, yesterday we had your cohort on. We had Withrow on. The Hutton with, and D-Mace mistakenly said Withrow and Hutton. And then Chad was like, you know what? I kind of like the ring to that. Yeah. And we kind of said, well, why is it Hutton and Withrow?
Yeah, so we made a executive order, and we said if we have Withrow on, it's going to be Withrow and Hutton. And then when we have Hutton on, it's going to be Hutton and Withrow. Just so you don't think, well, what are they doing? So we're telling you now that when Withrow's on, whenever we have him, it's going to be his name first and then yours.
So is it D. Mason Willie whenever Willie's out?
It's just Willie and D. Mace.
That's a good question.
Yeah, it's just Willie and D. Mace. That's all.
I'm just checking. I need to get it right. Hey, Mace.
But if I come on your show, and thank you for inviting me the last time I was on. I had a great time.
Yeah, man.
But if I come on the show again, you can say D. Mason Willie.
Okay.
There we go.
Smart. Yeah. Smart move.
You see, Willie knows now.
What goes around comes around,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Hey, Mace, I ran into a former Spartan, C.J. Hayes, over the weekend.
Okay.
He, FRA Middle School, I believe, is where he ran into your daughter. But no joke, went to Michigan State and wanted to because during your era with the Titans, he saw you pull up in the car that he loved and he thought you were a badass.
Oh, wow. Well,
how about that?
That's a story for you. Well, I'm glad he chose to go to Michigan State.
Well, he transferred to Syracuse to play wide receiver, I believe.
He ended up transferring to Syracuse after that. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, man, small world. You never know.
I know, man. And he's a big fan. And again, he's a legit dude as well. So,
is he living here now?
Yeah, he was back. Well, I saw him here. Yeah.
Okay.
He's back here.
Okay. Well, he's a
solid player, too. Mm-hmm.
Former Spartan, I may reach out to him just because he was a former Spartan.
So we talked to Chad a little bit about a lot of Tennessee stuff specifically, but earlier this during our show, we were talking about all that Georgia's dealing with right now. It's the wind blows hard at the top, right? As our cohort Doug Matthews used to say, the higher you go up on the totem pole or the flagpole, the harder the wind blows. Mm-hmm. So they're under the scrutiny that national title contenders are a lot. But with the media days being down in Dallas, that's had an interesting angle. So what's been the most interesting thing about SEC media days for you so far?
I mean, honestly, just listening to Nick Saban be a member of the media and having Alabama players.
I agree.
Here they are discussing the rat poison. And having to downplay whatever Saban is saying about Alabama or not picking to go to the SEC championship game. That's intriguing to me. And I like Saban, Belichick, Brady. I think they're all going to crush it because I think they're all honest and they all have the status to be able to say whatever they want. And really no one's going to combat them because of who they are and what they've done and accomplished. Who's to say that they're wrong with their opinion? I think Saban, in effect, Willie, can be the commissioner of college football. Without the de facto commissioner of college football, because they're going to go to him with every issue, small or large, and whatever he says, we're going to be discussing on a daily basis because it's Nick Saban saying it, and what he says carries weight. Aside from that, Kirby Smart and what he's saying about Georgia and the recent arrests off the field, but on the track, I guess I should say. And how he's disciplining. I didn't know you could fine players through NIL. That was news to me. And I mean, in the NFL, that's collectively bargained.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're
going.
So
that's my question. Is he in communication with them? Like, he's not really specifying. He's basically saying it's them that are doing it. But are we to imply that he's in constant contact and say, okay, I got this guy, this guy, this guy. I want you guys to take their money away. Like, does he have a say in that? Or is that completely up to the people?
I mean, conduct detrimental to the collective? Is that the language? I mean,
it has to be in the contract.
Conduct detrimental to the team. And I mean, it's not like they're going to go out and pay players that Kirby Smart doesn't want in his locker room. So they're in constant communication. So, yeah, I mean, I think he would be handing that down. And the collective is certainly not going to do anything without the blessing of Kirby Smart. They're not going to find a player without Kirby knowing about that.
Yeah, you may be right. But that shouldn't let Kirby Smart off the hook, because it seems like he's sort of using it as, you know, him being off the hook. You're still the coach of this team. You still have a responsibility to those young men. You told their families that. You still have a responsibility to those young men. So what are you doing? You know, because it seems like in this day and age, you can't suspend anybody, because that's the difference between going to the SEC championship and ultimately going to the college football playoffs. It may not mean a lot now, but it's the difference between going and sitting at home and just going to a regular bowl game because you chose to suspend a guy that had every right to be suspended. But I think coaches nowadays, especially at programs like Georgia or some of these other big programs, they're scared to discipline guys in regards to suspending them because they don't want to lose games.
Well, I mean, and here's the thing, too. They don't want to lose games. And I think it's more of a penalty now in this era actually fining a player than it is sitting a player. And it's not going – I mean, Oklahoma State's opening up against directional school U. I don't know who they're – it's not like suspending Ollie Gordon a game is going to be detrimental to the season, nor would it be detrimental in most cases across the top end of college football, Mace. Mm-hmm. I mean, Georgia's a bad example this year. They're opening up against Clemson. But I think the out-of-the-pocketbook is more – out of the wallet is worse than sitting out one game and more detrimental – but here's the other aspect of it. Kirby is at the podium saying, well, you know, tell me who's suspending players, who's fining players, who's penalizing players. That's all well and good. I can't do that. But what I can say is tell me who else we're talking about on a routine basis having these issues off the field. It's Georgia. It is a big issue within that program. And while it's not all on the coach, whatever they're doing, and they got a $60 million lawsuit from the father of the player who lost his life. There was also a staffer driving one of those issued cars from a dealership out of Ohio that was a part of their NIL package. The list goes on and on. And this was a while back now, considering how many incidents we've had since then for this offseason. We had a topic yesterday on whether or not we'll see another issue involving a traffic violation. Specifically citation, not more than a citation, I should say, an arrest. I said yes. And we're this close to the season, and I said yes, because it's Georgia football. We're not seeing it at Texas. Texas has a long line of Lamborghinis outside their locker room, too. I don't see that happening down in Austin like I do in Athens.
Do you think, Hutt, it comes from – frankly, let's just say this. It comes from a lack of respect from his players to him. There's a difference when you're at Alabama and Nick Saban has and I use Alabama and Nick Saban because to me they are the poster team or program for doing things supposedly right and winning at the same time. Now, they've had their problems. I get that. But it's not like what you have been seeing. To me, it's a lack of respect from the player to the coach because, again, you wouldn't see this at a Alabama program. Why? Because Coach Saban set a standard early, and he didn't deviate. Now, he had to change as far as a person because the athlete is different, but what he wanted him to do, he didn't change. And I think the players respected that. You didn't see that. Or if it happened, nobody knew about it. But you don't see that in Georgia. It's like Kirby says something, and then 2 months later, you have the same exact thing continue to happen over and over again.
Yeah. Well, here, two things. First, I was dumb, too. I went way too fast one time in a Mercedes compressor that my girlfriend had in high school. The speedometer got up to 210 miles per hour. I didn't hit that, but I nearly hit 200. It was stupid. But I didn't do it again because her dad put a governor on the speedometer. On the accelerator after I did that on Verville Road in Morrison, Tennessee. Point being, these guys are getting to a stoplight and someone's revving up, you know, frat boy U is revving up the engine next to them and they're taking off at the green. That's number one. Number two, this is beyond Kirby Smart. This is a statewide issue, according to their legislators. But here's my problem. One, the offensive lineman, forgive me, I forgot his name, Bo Hughley, that's his name. Guess his bond? He bonded out, which is fine. Both players bonded out. What do you think he bonded out for?
About 50 grand.
Willie?
I'll say 100 grand.
$26.
$26.
Oh, wow, what?
$26 was his bond.
That ain't teaching nobody a lesson.
That's not Kirby Smart's issue. If it was Kirby Smart, these guys wouldn't be getting pulled over and arrested. Just point blank. There wouldn't be an issue because we wouldn't know about this. And I'm not trying to blame Kirby for that. Maybe it's more. Maybe he takes it more serious than that. But a $26 bond, I mean, that's ridiculous.
So it is bigger than him for sure. So I go back to the old school, and that is I still think it sends a message to players that you curtail the playing time. That does help deter. If there's a fear across the board of if I step out of line, I'm not going to play. But the other problem that we talked about, Hutt, is, okay, that kid might just leave now. That's mm-hmm. the fear of a coach, right? I might lose a really good player who's just going to go create the same situation in a different place.
And I would say the player that replaces him, Willie, at Georgia is probably going to take off and street race.
Mm. Maybe.
I hate to place blame on guys.
Right,
who
and Kirby
doing
Smart
it.
Was quick to point out yesterday. He goes, I take issue with people that think that every kid is like that. Right. He said most of our kids, it's not a problem. Mm-hmm. Right. That's not what they're about. But there, you can't ignore that some guys make dumb decisions. And I'm like you, Hutt, and Mesa said the same thing. If we were put in that same situation, I might make a dumb decision too, along the same lines. But that is where I think a good coach is able to navigate that situation, right? And it's complicated. This is new, and it's moving a million miles an hour. Every coach is dealing with it because you want every kid to put the money in the right perspective that you want to develop. You want to think big picture. You want to become an NFL player. You want to become a successful person after your playing career is over. That's where your priorities should be, but not everybody can see that when they're 18, especially if you're flashing all this green.
Big picture, too, it just across the board. I mean, those racing down interstate or whatever, wherever they're doing it, they're probably doing it on a side street. Mm-hmm. There are bystanders everywhere. And again, like there was a woman for the statewide legislation, there was a woman that paired with one of the representatives that had this based on a loss of a loved one that was just driving down the interstate. And one of these cars, peeled out, but also hit this other car into a guardrail or something. Again, it's they've lost lives within the program too. I mean, we've been there and discussed that. They're facing lawsuits. That's why they're going through all this training. It's because of the lawsuits behind the scenes. They're following the lawyer's advice. I agree, Willie, with what everything you're saying. The issue I have is Kirby Smart's going to have to they're going to have to issue a statement that says we're aware and we're letting the legal process play out. And instead, the legal process is saying $26 bond, come back whenever the season's over. That's the vibe. And it's not every player, but it's enough to where you're thinking this is a Georgia alone problem, even though it probably happens at universities across the country, not to this level where 24 different related arrests like this have been at Georgia over the last 2 years. That's way different than the message that was sent yesterday, which is, well, we have a great collective. We raise a lot of money and we're going to find these guys, even though you've never heard of them.
Yeah, you're right. Now, before we end this with you, Hutt, SEC Media Days, a lot. Yeah. Obviously, they're in Texas, so a lot of questions have been geared toward the University of Texas.
Hopefully for the final time.
Exactly. Two questions in one. Where do you think Texas fit in all this now? And where does UT, so both of the UTs, where does UT fit in this?
Man, Nico is the wild card there. Mm-hmm. We don't know. He should be a lot better than what we saw last year, though. And that means, and with a defense that can get after the passer, it's 50-50 on whether we're going to see Tennessee at the end of the season battling for in the discussion of a back end playoff spot. That's where they could be. You know, if Missouri and Ole Miss are going to be there because of their schedule, if Nico takes off and has one of those amazing seasons like he's rated to have, based on where he's coming out in high school, who knows? But from Texas's standpoint, I don't know if you guys agree with this. If they were still in the Big 12, this would be national championship or bust for Sark.
Oh, of course. Yes.
I don't get that vibe now, but it's not like Texas's schedule is equal to what we've seen from Oklahoma's. I think that Texas can be in the SEC championship game against Georgia. Georgia, by the way, their schedule's no cupcake.
Not at all.
They've got their four toughest opponents in the conference are on the road. So Texas is in the mix, no doubt. Saban is saying that. He also said they're not going to come in and run the conference. I agree with him there too, but they're extremely talented. They lost a lot of speed at wide receiver. They replaced them with a lot of speed at wide receiver. And I'm guessing they did that on their defensive front as well. They still have the quarterback, although he's injury prone. And I can't help but think what a storyline it would be if there's a Manning at quarterback by the end of the season.
That would be a heck of a storyline.
Exactly. I would love that.
Just getting started with these storylines. We got to cut it a couple minutes short today because we're going to be joined by Scott Wedgwood of the Predators here on our next segment. But great stuff, as always. And next time when we talk to you, it'll be training camp on for the Titans. So looking forward to that.
Cannot wait. Thank you, guys. Enjoy the rest of the week.
We have officially made it through the offseason.
Exactly.
We have bridged the gap. We've got it.
And now the long wait for the regular season.
Absolutely.
Yes, which is underrated. That is underrated. From late July, like, it's football season. Well, we don't have a game for another 6 weeks.
August 17th, we're going to be thinking, man, this is a long month.
That's right. All right, Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. When we come back, Scott Wedgwood will join us. In Nashville for the first time as a member of the Predators, he joins the goaltending team. We'll talk to him next here on 102.5 The Game.